If you would turn to Revelation 2, verses 20 through 23, today's title is The Purpose of the Jezebel Spirit. We have been spending some time to give you an idea as to the depth of this battle that we are in. If you don't believe that you're in a battle, look at your life and see the storm that you're in or came out of. That is spiritual warfare, whether you realize it or not. In Revelation 2, verses 20 through 23, the Lord says, "Nevertheless, I have these few things against you, because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and beguile my servants, to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her in great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." Millions of Christians today are celebrating the resurrection of our King. And many of them will celebrate with Easter eggs, Easter rabbits, baskets filled with all kinds of cookies, candies, and sweets. And all of it has its root in Baal worship. You see, even the holidays, the Jezebel spirit is trying to control the Christian church. And I'm not putting a damper on it, because we can turn that around for something good. Irene's going to do that today with the little guys. But I want you to understand that that's the world's standard for Easter. Our standard for Easter is Jesus is no longer in the tomb. It is empty. He's no longer on the cross. He died. But he's not found in those, what do they call those eggs? Those
Cadbury
eggs, yeah, where the rabbits are laying them, you know. He's not found in that. He's not found in the jelly bean little bunny trails that run up and down the rooms and the little toys and stuff that we give our kids. And believe me, we participated in that. But never once did we glorify the Easter Bunny. We glorified Christ in everything that we said or did. And this spirit, as we have seen, because this spirit is rooted in idolatry and false worship, is permeated throughout our society. So much so that in the 21st century, we fail to see that this spirit is alive and well in the Church of Jesus Christ. God has been trying to get our attention and to reveal to us how powerful and deceitful this spirit is. God has been trying to show us over the last several weeks just some of the tactics that this spirit uses in such subtlety that we don't even pay attention. And it takes advantage of our ignorance of its tactics. Paul says, you know, we're not caught unaware of the devil's tactics. But I think the 21st century church has forgotten why we're here. We have seen how the spirit uses lies and deception as a motivation to bring us into some semblance of control. We have seen how this spirit will use anything and everything in order to bring us to a place that is not where we want to be in Jesus Christ. This spirit leads us away from God until one day we wake up and realize that we are so far away from God, we wondered how we got there. But the beauty of Easter and the beauty of this message is that Jesus Christ defeated this spirit over 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And now that victory is ours. It is. It's worth rejoicing. You may say, well, you know what, Pastor? It's harmless. Be very careful in how you paint the picture, because that is the Jezebel spirit. She proclaims to be a prophetess. She's the one that says it's okay. She's the one that is mincing the words in here so that we can compromise our position in Jesus Christ. And when we start agreeing with her and not agreeing with God, we are slowly drifting away. We are in such dire straits that we, because of our ignorance, we brush off that when someone is infuriated, we're just saying they're having a bad day. To the point that if their lifestyle, which is contrary to what the Word of God says, but it's okay, they'll grow out of it. Can you see the tactic that the Jezebel spirit is using? And we're agreeing with it. That's okay for the world. It is not okay for the body of Christ and those in it. We must put that stuff off. We must be holy. We must be pure. And I think what we do is we underestimate our adversary. We underestimate because just because this isn't a real shoot the bullets at us and people are dying in the physical realm, we don't see or particularly understand that we are in a warfare, and this warfare is going on even around us right now. And this warfare, believe it or not, church, is for the hearts and souls of men and women that Jesus Christ died for. Your souls and mine. The Spirit uses threats and intimidation as a means to manipulate and control us while keeping us in bondage that we are so agreeable to. You see, this Spirit throws this stuff out there. We participate and we don't even realize that we're unlocking a cell. We walk in the cell. We close the door behind us and we say, wow, wasn't that fun? The problem is, we don't know how to get out. This spirit finds and then uses the lust of our hearts as a means to satisfy our perverted sexual proclivities as a form of imprisonment that we desire for ourselves. And we've heard how this spirit uses these tactics against us. Against the people that we love and that the people we're trying to minister to and tell them the truth, but they don't want to hear it. They have to live it to understand. Our participation is only assigned to other Christians as to the depth of our depravity while serving this Jezebel spirit. And in serving this Jezebel spirit, we make ourselves spiritual eunuchs. Spiritual eunuchs. We are not reproducing spiritual sons and daughters to the Most High. Jezebel has successfully sidetracked the people of God from the purposes of God. And they have forgotten what is truly at stake here. What's at stake? It's not us having the best sound system around and we have a tremendous worship service. That would be great. But that's not what it's at stake here. Me preaching a word that could bring conviction to somebody is not what's at stake here. What's at stake here is far more than what we're willing to pay. Christ died on the cross to demonstrate His love while we were yet sinners. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare that we cannot see, but it is more real than the war that our soldiers are fighting either in Iraq or Afghanistan. How can I tell where we are in serving this Jezebel spirit? Because there are signs that show us. When was the last time that you read the Word of God for yourself? When was the last time you pulled the Bible out to study, to implement a principle into your life? When was the last time that you know you needed to be someplace to fellowship, to get built up in your faith, and you didn't go? These are all signs that Jezebel is seducing us away from God. And none of us, including myself, is not susceptible to her charms. None of us. The signs are all around us, but we're not paying attention. The truth of it is, we have become children of the Jezebel spirit, not children of the Most High God. And because I say that, it's because I see the indifference in believers. Maybe not in our group, but I see it in believers that I like to call make believers, that their indifference to spiritual realities, to spiritual truths, to spiritual principles. God didn't die just to have something to do. Do you realize that God could have smote the universe and started all over again? But He chose not to, because of His great love. And because we become children of this Jezebel spirit, we have given it dominion. We have tolerated this spirit to rule and reign over us, when it is only the true and living God who has the right and authority to do such. We are no different than what Adam did in the garden when Satan deceived him and took the title deed of the earth and subjected everyone who has been born into this world except for Christ to sin. And this Jezebel is trying to tell us that being selfish and self-centered is the answer to all our problems. That it's okay when it is not. We also heard the message. And what stood out in front of me was when Elijah said to those in Israel at the time. And I asked you today, if Jesus is Lord, serve Him. But if the devil be Lord, you serve him. Be the best sinner you possibly can be. But don't sit there and not say a word. And worse yet, don't do anything about it. Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but don't sit on the fence. Because I'll spit you out. You're either going to be hot for Jesus or you're not going to be for Jesus. But this Jezebel is trying to shut the mouths of the saints. So what is the purpose of this Jezebel spirit in these end times, these last hours, these last days? Well, first of all, let's give a little history lesson of how we've suffered under this Jezebel spirit. We have been dealing indirectly with this spirit, and we have chosen to remain ignorant to it. And because of its power, it has continuously been assaulting the leadership to a place where the leadership is becoming wearied. It's a matter of attrition. How long can you stay under the pressure of an attack? And these attacks are going on either through our indifference to one another, to physical ailments, to out-and-out hostilities between brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we fail to understand that it is an enemy, a spirit that is doing this to us, and we're focusing on each other when it is a spirit that is instigating the problem. Jezebel is assaulting us, and we're not paying attention. And because we're not paying attention, we choose to remain ignorant instead of exercising our power and authority that Jesus Christ has given to the church. What we do is we become enslaved by the pain and discouragement from these attacks, while all the time blaming others instead of blaming the warfare on the spirits that hate us. And I pray that God has opened up our eyes a little bit to the attack, the warfare that we are in the midst of. And it is not by coincidence that these tactics and these assaults are turned up. Why? Because the Jezebel spirit is a territorial spirit that does not want the Christ spirit reigning and ruling in this land. We have declared that we are going to go into this land, we are going to do battle, and we are going to win souls. We have objectives, we have goals this year that must be attained, of which all us streams must be involved in. We must understand that this spirit uses both men and women to do its dirty work. It isn't just relegated because the name is Jezebel. There is no gender to a spirit. Its tongue is so gifted that it encourages and exhorts and even edifies us away from the truth. It is so cunning that we would believe a lie before we even believed what God has to say. All the while leading us down the path to the highway of hell. And we have lost this sense of just saying no. We just say, well, why not? Everyone else is doing it. Is that what the Lord died for us to live a life less than optimum power? A life of compromise? Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. My family has these traditions and stuff. You know what? Jesus told us flat out, if you love them more than you love Him, you're not worthy of Him. And we have to make a choice. We have to make a decision. Are we going to stand for the King and the kingdom and set our lives in such a way that is glorifying to Him? Or are we going to knuckle under the pressure of this Jezebel spirit because our families won't like us? You see, this is the choice that has to be made. This is the reality of what it means to be a Christian in this day and age, as it was 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed, except we've bought more into the lie than what we have in the truth. We have not examined the cost. We don't want to know what the cost is. We want Jesus to pay for it, but we don't want to give our lives to Him. And we're constantly feeding on a diet of self-indulgence and bowing down to the lust of our hearts at the expense of truth. Just like Queen Jezebel, this spirit wants to kill the voices of God's prophets. God's prophets in this day and age is no different than the prophets of old. They are calling God's people back to God. Back to the standard that God has wanted from the beginning. And the people of God are dumbfounded. Oh, that's too radical. You know what? You're just expecting too much out of me. I'm not expecting anything out of you. I'm calling you back to a higher standard. A standard that the giver of salvation and eternal life has set for us. This spirit assaults the prophets of God with direct confrontation, real threats of murder, and using Baal and Asherah mysticism as a means of unleashing the hordes of hell against them. If you want to know what's going on in my house, just talk to Holly. Don't talk to Jesse. Don't talk to Gary or me or Irene. She will tell you exactly the baloney that goes on in my house, and you think you have it tough. It's unfortunate that she's living in the house of a prophet. And the nonsense that goes on, the weariness of my spirit, I can't tell you. And it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we continue on. All hell has been unleashed upon the church of Jesus Christ in these last days. And it is going to be worse and worse. Not better for the church. You look at what's happening in the country. We have a president that professes worldwide now that we are no longer a godly nation, a Christian nation. That may be true, but why advertise it? And so our enemies are seeing the moral decay of this country. And will enhance its ability to fall. The Spirit's purpose is to lead the Church of Jesus Christ into error by removing the voice of the Spirit of Truth from its midst. Its desire is to keep the people of God immature and impure. It is to keep the church from sharing the truth of God's salvation. There would be no one being born again. And I see those that are within our midst that has this potential and are caught up in their immorality. Using every excuse why they can't live a pure life. The other purpose of the Jezebel spirit is to immobilize the church from exercising her God-ordained authority and power over the kingdom of death. By preaching and setting the captives free. Demonstrating the power of the kingdom to come. It is to silence the voice of the prophets, because she calls herself a prophetess, so she knows what's good, and immobilize the people of God into immorality, impurity. You just put whatever name on it you want. Whatever is keeping you from doing what God has called the church to do is not of God. It's not of God. God has given us a sexual desire to express our deepest love and commitment to another man or another woman in holy matrimony. And now it is a recreational drug that is being used. And it just shows you the depth of this deception that is going forth. And our people, the Church of Jesus Christ, is buying into this lie. The church has not understood that this is an example of how the Church of Jesus Christ is to work with the Holy Spirit in doing the work of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why it's such a mystery. We operate in purity, in goodness, in love. And the only way to overcome the enemy is stay as close to Jesus as you can. That may sound so obvious, but I can't exhort you enough. Just look at the signs of your life. Are you getting closer to the Lord? Are you changing more like the Lord? Do you want the Lord? Do you not realize that our salvation is closer today than it was yesterday? And that He could come even today for us. Are we ready? Are we set? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Or are we just excusing ourselves and saying, somebody else will do it? We fail to understand that there are rewards waiting for us on the other side. And if we're taking our time outs now, we'll have nothing over there. We will be of the poorest in the kingdom of heaven. And my heart is that your rewards would be great in heaven. Great in heaven. The work of the Lord Jesus ended when He ascended into heaven and is now sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for you and for me. The hostilities between God and us is over, and the terms of surrender is total surrender of our rights, our desires, and our lives that He would control. In exchange, what do we get? We receive forgiveness. We receive His uncreated eternal life. And all He asks us to do is go and preach the good news and set the captives free. It's God's desire for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, Streams of Life, whatever you want to use, for us to go tell somebody the truth. They're waiting for you. Jezebel is shutting your mouth. You know that there's times when God had said to you, you know what, just say something. And immediately, we listen to the other voice saying, you don't know what to say. You're not trained to... I'm here to tell you, can you speak? Then you're trained. Because it's not you that's going to speak at that moment. It's going to be the Holy Spirit in you speaking. You need to give over your mouth, your voice to Him, and allow Him to speak through you. We got teenagers that are going to hell in a handbasket, committing suicide. We need our teenagers to stand up and say, you know what? God has died for that. You know what? There's something better than this. Open your mouth. Tell them. Tell them the truth. All of us have a horror story. All of us have come from a horror story. We've all made mistakes. We've all done wrong. But you know what? We can turn that around and tell them how God has set our lives right. Our battle cry, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. Jesus overcame the enemy with His testimony. He spoke. They tried to shut Him up, but He spoke. Jezebel is trying to shut us up, but God wants to speak through you and through me. I challenge you, church. I challenge you. Go speak to somebody. Go change your life a little bit. Get radical for the Lord. Stand up for Him because He is worthy. And I'm not saying, you know, we just throw everything out and we start all over. I'm saying be obedient to what He tells you to do. If He wants you to clean house of all the junk that's in it, then clean house of the junk. If He wants you to go and speak to somebody, go speak to that person. You have been empowered from on high. It's now time to use it. He took the Father's power and He said, no one takes my life, I give it up. And I pick it up after I'm done. It's time for us to pick up His life. It's time for us to make a difference in our families, in our community, in our jobs. And if you're doing that, I want to exhort you to keep doing it. No matter what storms come down your way, understand that the leaders are taking the full brunt of it. It's almost like a sandstorm that we're in. We're constantly getting blasted, constantly getting peeled away. And if it weren't for God's grace, I don't know where we would be. But I do know one thing. And this thing you can take to the bank. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has promised us good things. In spite of what this spirit wants to do to us. In spite of what it's attempting to do. Let us destroy this spirit. And let us step on it. Let us begin to take a Jehu spirit and destroy all the works that this spirit has against us and against our families, and begin to start preaching and living like there is no tomorrow. Because believe me, we're not sure that there is. Amen? Amen. Father, I just praise you and I thank you, God, that you have exposed this spirit. And God, we have not exhausted the truth or the examples. But Father, I pray that your church would begin to arise and shine, God, to be bold as lions, God, beginning to shout and scream and roar like never before. The Lion of Judah would be pronounced, God, and that, God, many would hear your voice and many would come running to you, Lord God. God, as we exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God, may our battle cry be just as yours is, that we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, what you have already done, God. And by the word of our testimony, by what you are doing in our lives, God. And we don't even care about our lives. God, help us to repent in those areas. Help us to move in those things, God, that would glorify you. God, as we're getting ready to partake in communion, Father, I give you permission to examine my heart, God. And if there's any wickedness in it, God, clean it out. I don't want anything to stop your flow, God. I don't want anything to keep me from accomplishing that which you have set for me to do. And I pray for your people, God. I pray that your people would examine their hearts. I ask in Jesus' name, God.